Hello and welcome. I'm Andrew Davidson, the creator, editor, and host of History and Game. History and Game is a short-form podcast about board games. Okay, fine. Let's just say that if you took all the board game podcasts in all the world, stuffed them into a house, then I tell you what, boy howdy, you sure can see how nice it is from our recently renovated patio. History and Game doesn't interview designers. It doesn't report what's going on in the industry. No Kickstarter previews, no top 10 episodes. And yet, the podcast is something special. Whenever I'm with other gamers and hungry for a bowl of shameless self-promotion, I say, History and Game is a podcast so fresh and unique that it's unlike any other board game podcast you've ever heard before. Yeah, I know. It's good, right? Over the years, I've pitched the show so many times to so many different people that I have the whole damn thing committed to memory. Everything. Body language, tone, the whole magilla. As soon as I start, I turn into one of those entrepreneurs like on Shark Tank. But now, a moment of humility, if you will. As much as I've enjoyed using the phrase, a podcast so fresh and unique that it's unlike any other board game podcast you've ever heard before, I've come to realize that what it does is sound goofy. What it doesn't do is give my potential listeners any idea of what the podcast is, what are the episodes like, or how grateful I am to create something that people find entertaining. So, I'd like to take a brief moment of your time, if I may, and explain not only what History and Game is, but what it can do. Every episode of History and Game begins with an interesting story about a historical figure, an event, war, or possibly time period. In the second half of the episode, I provide a non-traditional review of a board game that ties into the historical aspect you just listened to. Yeah, I can hear the foghorn in your head. Boring. Okay, but hey now, History and Game doesn't throw your high school history class and a Tom Vazel video into a blender and call it a day. Good heavens, no. The show often uses the episode's main idea as a springboard into bigger, more philosophical discussions. If you're not familiar with the show, here are a few examples. One episode discusses what makes us who we are. Question: what aspect of existence has changed you into who you are today? Now, I'm not asking about our conscious decisions, no siree Billy Bob Thornton. I'm asking about the subconscious things, the changes you don't notice, the changes you can't feel. Until one day, 10 years from now, you wake up to a moment of clarity. You wake up and you remember a time from days gone by when you weren't angry all the time. A time when you never, not in a million years, would have lost your temper. A time when you were fun to be around and the world wasn't quite as heavy. In another episode, I discuss a recent theory in the field of psychology. The theory claims that fully cooperative, narrative-driven games, if played on a reoccurring basis, can positively affect the player by increasing character traits such as agreeableness, altruism, empathy, and not just at the table, but at work, the gym, or with your family. Can board games offer more than just a good old-fashioned dice chuck and disco? Can board games change you? Can they make you better? I once watched a stranger bang his head against a wall. I once stayed up all night listening to a friend cry themselves to sleep. I once put my hand on the back of a family member to feel if they were still breathing. I believe that the dating world is humanity's real-life version of Squid Game. Let's face it, dating is the pick-and-pass drafting game of life, a cyclical process of removing future options from other players, while simultaneously they remove future options from you. I mean, how on earth do you draft the one when your heart knows there's a slight chance that your one and only has not been selected and it's making its way to you? While we're on the subject of dating and board games, did you know that a board game date is considered a perfect date? Seriously, that's not just me. Don't believe me? According to research conducted at the University of Oxford, a board game date is the way to go. The research methodology evaluated hundreds of thousands of date ideas based on their cumulative score of two categories, the shared experience category and the social experience category. The shared experience category is all about engaging in a unique activity. For context, a unique activity is something fun and exciting that one does not experience on a frequent basis. Like sitting together on a Ferris wheel. I mean, unless if they own a Ferris wheel and they ride the Ferris wheel every day, but you get what I'm saying. The social experience category is all about engaging in communication. For example, a date at the movies scores high on the shared experience category, but low on the social experience category, because anyone with a shred of decency knows better than to carry on a conversation at the theater. Oh, and the ever so popular dinner date is the exact opposite. Sitting together at a quiet restaurant scores high on social, but low on shared, because eating food is not really considered a unique experience. And that's why a board game date is the perfect date. Noodle on that one for a while. But hey, before I leave you, whether if you're a board game enthusiast, a history buff, or a 9-to-5 working class hero with a 20-minute drive to work, I cannot recommend History and Game enough. If you found any of this interesting, you can catch all the audio action at historyandgamepodcast.com. My name is Andrew Davidson. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, in the hockey game of life, keep your stick on the ice, okay?